All right, today I'm having a talk with Big Tex, one of the marketers out there. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions today. So state basically your name and what have you done on the marketing side.
My name is Big Tex. I've been in the marketing industry for over 10 years. I am a brand manager and consultant. I've worked with Russell Simmons to Coca-Cola to Metro PCS to Foods, to Verizon, to Puma, Rockford Shoes, Adidas, Minute Maid, and so forth.
Okay, with all of that said, how important is marketing?
Marketing is as important as the sales side of a packaging. If you've got a great message, but you've got a horrible product, they both negate each other. So after so long in the industry, that's one of the biggest things I've come to realize is you can't have one without the other. They are the yin and the yang. Whereas if you focus all of your balance on sales, but nobody knows about your product, then you're destined to lose in the long term. So you really, they both have to be 50-50, and both of the messages have to be strong.
How do you feel about marketing getting switched into, like, everybody's, like, internet crazed? So what is your, like, do you feel that marketing on the internet is just as important as marketing, like, on TV and in billboards?
Well, there are two perspectives on internet marketing. First, there's social marketing, which now brands have begun developing Twitter followings. They're going 2.0, they're going Second Life, they're going Facebook. To an extent, I think you have to have that element in your marketing strategy, but you cannot negate classic marketing. You cannot negate billboards, magazine ads, because we as consumers are compounded with 6,000 to 10,000 marketing messages a day. So you have to be able to get a consumer at their leisure point, at a stop sign, when they're turning and they're looking up and they see a billboard for a soda, and they just happen to be thirsty. But you also have to get them on the internet, so everybody's Twittering and things of that nature. So you have to be able to penetrate them at their point, making sure that they are your friends, but your message is not so blatant when you're on a site saying, hey, buy this because this is hot. Well, what makes you hot? Just because you have a marketing page? I mean, those are the type of things that I think nowadays brands have to do to get to these consumers, because when you have a person like me, brands hire me because I am an icon. I am impactful, which means consumers look at text and say, okay, what is Tex doing? Every time I see this dude, he's got this cowboy hat, he's all over the place. What is he doing? Who is he? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm impacting consumers. I'm just a normal guy. But my influencing and my buying power supersedes that of maybe a Twitter page, because they're just going on the Twitter page to see what's free. Oh, it's another free party. So, again, I think brands have to take a perspective on both of them. They can't just say, well, we're just going to go completely internet crazy and do all this and negate your magazines, your hardcovers, as opposed to they can't just go all magazine and all print and say, well, we don't need the web.
Exactly. So what is a sign of a good marketer? Because I know that there's students out there who's trying to get a job in marketing. What best advice would you give them?
Set your own personal brand. Many people confuse that with style. Let me give you an example in the sports business world and in the hip-hop business world. Everybody that comes into the hip-hop world nowadays, they are wearing bow ties, business suits. They're doing whatever they can because they're following a trend. But the trend is a fad, because in the hip-hop industry, everything comes and goes. We all know that. Whereas if you're in the business world, classic pinstripe, classic gray, double-breasted suits are the norm. So when you set your style, you have to be able to walk into an interview head high, fingernails manicured, smelling good, suit tailored, resume punctual on all levels. You have to speak the language. You have to understand what is going on in your industry. And that's what I would tell kids and people that are trying to break into the industry. This industry is very fluid. It's constantly changing. Granted, the basics of marketing never change. The understanding of, okay, this is how you execute. These are the strategies. This is how you create a marketing plan. That would never change. I tell kids and people, you need to go ahead and train yourself for the industry before you get here. I read a book called Do You by Russell Simmons. And in so many words, Russell said, if you don't have the money to be a lawyer, study law on the internet. Made all the damn sense in the world to me. Mm-hmm. So you set yourself apart. When you go into the interview, know something. But when you meet somebody, already know what's going on in that industry. So no keywords, no power words, no trends. So that when somebody says, when you walk up to somebody and you're like, man, I'm trying to break into the industry, they're going to look at you crazy. But then you say, well, you know, currently right now, I know that the industry is trending towards this and I'm trying to get in here. I don't want to look at you like, well, damn. So you don't work in the industry? No, but I'm studying. I want to be ready so when someone hires me, I'm quick to tell you, you know what, give me your card. Give me your information because you stand out. You want this bad enough that you're already doing your homework. So set yourself apart. Give yourself a brand. You are your brand. You are people seeing you. That's how they recognize you. And you don't have to have something crazy like me, like a cowboy hat, but have a signature about you. And I think that will help you not only get into the industry, but it will set you apart from the other 1,500 resumes we're getting every week from normal Joe Blows, and that they did all of this and all of that. Have reputable sources so that if somebody calls your reference, they say, okay, well, tell me what Mike did. They can say, you know what, Mike built this program from the ground up and included these basic elements. Even if it was something very simple, I tell you to record, film, and follow your events or whatever you're doing. Make it presentable, put it on a PowerPoint, keep it with you, put it down to a flash drive so that when you walk into an interview and someone's like, well, tell me what you did, you can pull out your flash drive and say, let's stick this in your drive. Or you keep your computer with you and say, let me show you. That's how you separate your brand from everyone else.
So you've made the point of, also in marketing, when you're a marketer, you have to brand the product for whoever you're marketing for, but also you have to brand yourself. So are those both equally matched?
If you are a brand ambassador, okay, mm-hmm. who's out sampling, wet sampling the new Coca-Cola flavor 12, doesn't matter who you are. It's just another brand ambassador. But if you work directly for Coke, and you're involved in the community, which means you're out on site, you're at events, you're at networking events, you're at several events, now you become the face of that brand. So you have to know the difference. If you're just a brand ambassador and you're just working, or you're just a street team, or you're just working, then your whole job is to push that brand. You can differentiate yourself by your energy and your knowledge of the brand. The whole time you're saying, I'm doing this as a means to an end. So yes, you need both of them, but you have to understand to what level you are.
Okay. And what are some don'ts that you definitely should not do, a marketer should definitely not do, or you just tell people that, you know, just don't do that, that'll make you look bad or whatnot? Like you said before, you have to, the internet marketing and also the marketing on in print, basically saying, well, don't give all your budget to the internet marketing because you have to also think about marketing for print and whatnot, and like what not to do. Like sometimes marketers like to appeal to a certain audience, realizing they haven't targeted another audience. Like, what are some things that people should not be stuck in their ways on when it comes to marketing?
Never underestimate the knowledge and the buying power of your consumer or any consumer, meaning don't come out with a product and just launch it in one specific target area. Segment your marketing and your launch. So if it's a flavored drink, however you want it to be drunk by the urban crowd, so you use 40% of your marketing dollars to launch in the urban markets. Okay, and that means events, that means your plant, that means your advertising, all of that. The rest of it you use another 10%, so now you're at 50%, you use another 10% at your general market, then your Latinos, and then you just go all over the place. Because you don't want, let's take Hypnotic, okay? I'm not deeply entrenched in the world of the Hypnotic liqueur, but Hypnotic had been out, and they decided, hey, we're going to go heavy urban. So they were on all of the videos, and they started to flash the bottle in the video trend. Okay, it was great, but what happens? The urban consumer has it's $5.2 billion buying power, okay? And they're very smart. So now, all of a sudden, every rapper is getting Hypnotic in the video because they think that's hot, and Hypnotic's breaking a little change off here and there to the rappers. Well, what's the consumer going to think? Oh, they're getting paid to do that. So don't underestimate the buying power and the knowledge of the consumer. Do not patronize your consumer. Don't think because you got a page up on Dallas Back, In the Mix, all the parties, or whatever, and you pay somebody to hold the bottle, that that's going to make the consumer run out and buy it. That's just, they don't roll like that. Do not forget to take your marketing plan and allow people to give you input. Create a page, create some type of drawback site where people can give you input. Take that input and use it until you figure out what's the best way to bring this product to market. You can't just build a MySpace page. My page is dead. You just can't build a Twitter page. You just can't build any type of social hub, Facebook page, and think everybody's just going to go there because you built it. You know, you did a couple bar buybacks in the city, or you gave away a couple t-shirts, or you gave Ludacris $20 to be, you know, your spokesman. You have to find, the marketing mistake is thinking celebrity endorsements and this, that. You have to find people within the market who are trendsetters, who are leaders, who actually can believe in your product. You can't throw $20 to some random brother or some random guy, some random guitarist or drummer, and think he's going to talk about your brand. Having to develop and nurture relationships, but that means it takes a little bit more time. And in this climate, you don't have time to do to R&D and bring it to market in a year. You've got to R&D and bring it to market in 5 months because you only got a 6-month shelf life. So, no, don't patronize. Don't underestimate. And for all, don't throw all your dollars into just one bucket. Segment your dollars.
All right, thank you. We sat down with Big Tech today to talk about some marketing. Hope you guys got something out of it. And thank you, Big Tech.
Let me leave you with this. I invite everybody to go to my blog, bigtechmarketing.blogspot.com. I invite you to go on there and kind of look at what I do. One of the things you will see is I'm constantly trying to educate consumers. I want you guys to understand, especially from a male perspective, what it takes to become a personal brand. How do you get to the point where people know you or don't know you? Number two, read. Go to Seth Godin, SethGodin. Go to Promo Magazine. Go to Event Marketer. Go inside of Barnes & Noble's. Get your marketing books, understand brand imaging, brand position, brand strategy. Look at the people that are doing it and figure out how they did it. The best brander to this day in our culture, Donald Trump and Puff Daddy. Because it's all about their personal brand and their style, which people seem to look at and they're authentic. I was a finalist for The Apprentice too. I was the last guy to cut before the television. And in my last meeting, I had every television camera from every major station there, had a room of 15 people, and they said, when you take off your cowboy hat to be on the show because Mr. Trump doesn't like cowboy hats. I looked at him, sat back, crossed my legs. I told him, hell no. They all went in shock. What do you mean? Donald Trump has his brand, and I have my brand. And I believe in my brand more than I do Donald Trump's brand. Now, who knows where that could have took me? I could have been on television because Russell actually called Donald Trump on my behalf when I was auditioning for the show. Okay, but I stood in the belief of my brand more than Donald Trump. I could have been all over the world on TV in Big Texas, but I believe in my brand, and I won't sacrifice the quality of my brand for somebody else. Goes back to what you asked me earlier. You have to create your own brand, and you have to believe it. And that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You've just tuned in to MistyNicole.blogspot.com.